Information-fueled, opinion-driven. This is the Dan Mandis Show, Super Talk 99.7.
105 on Super Talk 99.7. WTN, Dan Mandis Show. Appreciate you being here. Lots of stuff to talk about, including this headline from the Daily News. The girlfriend of Las Vegas shooter Stephen Paddock has a clean conscience, returning to the U.S. to clear her name. So we'll get into that as well. A writer in the Tennessean wants the Titans to look at Colin Kaepernick as a backup to Marcus Mariota. You can see that story on the Dan Mandis Show Facebook page. I will also talk about that as well as a number of different things this hour. But first of all, because it is, of course, breaking news, we know that Mary Lou Danner is Danley is speaking to authorities right now, apparently. The girlfriend of Las Vegas attacker Stephen Paddock told family she has a clean conscience following his horrific mass murder and that she wanted to return to the U.S. to clear her name. It feels odd. Just a very strange thing to say, if this quote is true. Because you would think that it would be a little bit more heartfelt, a little bit more concerning, but apparently not. Mary Lou Danley was thousands of miles away, they say, in the Philippines, when police revealed her identity and said that she might hold the key as to why Paddock set up a sniper's nest on the 32nd floor of the Mandalay Bay Resort and did what he did. She says, I called her up immediately. The brother says his name is Reynaldo Bustos, saying, I called her up immediately. She said, relax. We shouldn't worry about it. I'll fix it. Do not panic. I have a clean conscience. Police have named Danley as a person of interest to Danley's two sisters, and I played you this audio in the previous hour. Danley's two sisters telling Australia's 7 News they believe Paddock surprised her with a solo ticket to the Southeast Asian islands to keep her in the dark about his plan to kill. I don't want to get into kind of guessing what may have happened, but, you know, it's very possible she knew what was going on, but she flew out to the Philippines as a cover. We don't know. That is something the authorities will figure out. She says, I know that she don't know anything as well. The sister is saying this about Danley, that she didn't know anything and she was basically sent to the Philippines so that she would not distract this guy from doing what he ultimately did. So we'll have to see what happens. I told you last hour, this is a woman who has a number of different identities, a number of different addresses, and apparently has also been married to two guys at one time. So there's a lot of weirdness going on with, obviously, this guy, Paddock, and to me, this woman, Danley, as well, because of the fact that she has such a very odd, strange, checkered past. And so we'll find out all the latest as the afternoon continues to progress. One of the things, though, that I think that we've all been touching on, and I certainly talked about it yesterday, and we've all been talking about it here on WTN, is the politicization of this crime. This horrific murder, this horrific massacre. And unfortunately, you know, it's going into a couple of different directions, right? So first of all, you do have the very predictable calls for gun control. I talked about that yesterday. But it only took a couple of days for some of these other folks, certainly in the colleges, to try and tie this to race. And how this Las Vegas massacre, according to a professor from Drexel University, this is all a result of Trumpism and a narrative of white victimization. So you got to kind of follow the bouncing ball here when I tell you what it exactly it is that this Drexel University professor George Cicerello Mayer tweeted, saying that white people and men will go on shooting sprees when they, quote, don't get what they want. Now, this plays right into the conversation that was had a while back about how, and I think it was Hillary, wasn't it? Hillary and others of her ilk who said that the reason why Trump came into power, the reason why Trump won the White House was because white men were, frankly, angry at the fact that we were losing our place in power. Now, I don't buy that for half a second, but, you know, they're saying that white men specifically, we're upset. And the reason why we're angry, and if I can take this person's theory on white victimization to its natural end, what she's saying, or he is saying, this George Cicerello mayor, is basically saying is that white men are upset with all of the illegal immigrants coming into the country. We are upset with the rise of women as well here in America. And so we're lashing out and we're shooting people. And that makes no sense whatsoever. I know that it doesn't make sense to 99.9% of the people within the sound of my voice right now. But to some of those folks on the Uber left, this resonates. Extreme Trumpism and white victimization motivated the Vegas shooter. Associate Professor George Cicerello Mayer tweeted just hours after the massacre, white people and men will go on shooting sprees when they don't get what they want. The recent social media comments by this person, Cicerello Mayer, Associate Professor of Politics and Global Studies at Drexel University. Well, the Drexel University is distancing itself from Cicerello Mayer. They're saying, listen, this is his own opinion, and we do not represent what he is tweeting out. It's not our views. He's doing this on his own. Now, by the way, this is the same guy that tweeted back in 2016, all I want for Christmas is white genocide. So you remember this guy? And you do get to the point where you think, you know, maybe we should just stop pointing out the absurdity of these folks. But given the fact that these folks do these kinds of tweets, they get a lot of traction. And so because they get a lot of traction, I feel like I have to point these things out, just like Hillary. You know, Hillary, and again, every time I mention Hillary's name, I get all those emails, very predictable, by the way, at this point, saying, why are you mentioning Hillary? Well, I'm mentioning Hillary because she is given credibility by the media. So I have to serve as the counter to that. Cicerello Mayer began a Twitter thread Monday morning with a three-word message, a white man. It's the white supremacist patriarchy. Stupid, he tweeted. But liberals, he says, will drown out all the discourse with a deafening chorus screeching gun control. To believe that someone would shoot down 50 people would not circumvent any gun law you pass is the height of delusion. But liberal escapism means talking about easy questions and proposing easy non-solutions rather than talking about who kills and why. And this is where the whole, you know, white men come in. White people and men are told that they are entitled to everything. Really? I have never in my life been told that I was entitled to anything. Not one thing. I've had to work my tail off for everything that I have. But this is all white privilege, and we've spoken about this ad nauseum. His tweet continues, this is what happens when they don't get what they want. The narrative of white victimization has been gradually built over the past 40 years. No, I would say the narrative of white privilege has been gradually built over the past couple of years. And we know that that's a bunch of bunk. Anyway, continuing on with his tweet, it is the spinal column of Trumpism. The most extreme form is the white genocide myth. Yesterday was a morbid symptom of what happens when those who believe they deserve to own the world also think it is being stolen from them. He ended his, now, first of all, it doesn't make any sense. If Stephen Paddock was angry because his world was being taken away from him, and he's a white guy and he feels like he is entitled to everything, well, then why would he kill a whole bunch of other white people? That doesn't make any sense, right? So just rational and logic has no place in the thought process of Drexel University Professor George Cicerello Mayer. He ended his tweets, storm, if you will, several hours later. He says, here's a wild idea. White supremacy in the U.S. is a bipartisan project, and both the gun lobby and the anti-gun lobby are racist as blah, 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 blah. So again, it's one of those, it's almost like when we talk about rational thought and how the left is essentially devoid of rational thought, this is an extension of all of the things that we've talked about before and all the things that we know have been going on in college campuses across America. So it's not real surprising, but the reason I point this out, of course, is because it's about time that the people that are stating these things on Twitter and in colleges across America they need to get as much attention as possible. And the reason why we need to point this stuff out is, yes, because the more that we draw attention to the absurdity and the stupidity of not only their comments, but also their, I wouldn't even call this partisan. I would call it a literal attack on people who are supportive of President Trump. Because what they're trying to do, and what he's trying to do, and what a lot of folks are trying to do, is they're trying to tie what this guy Paddock did to President Trump. And they'll try to do it in any possible way. And I think that's abhorrent. But it's not necessarily real surprising, is it? 615-737-9986, 615-737-WWTN. Should the Titans take a long look at Colin Kaepernick as backup quarterback? Wait till you hear what this guy, Joe Rexroad, I believe I'm saying his name right, from the USA Today Network and printed in the Tennessean, has to say about why it is that the Titans should sign Colin Kaepernick, because I guess Marcus Mariota I don't even know this because I didn't watch the Titans. But I guess Marcus Mariota got injured in the game last Sunday.
He's day to day.
So now I guess the Titans have a backup quarterback named Matt Castle. And so the problem is that Castle is not up to snuff, apparently, for a backup quarterback. And so they need like a backup to the backup. And so this guy, Joe Rexroad, says, well, wait a minute. So if Matt Castle isn't the guy, then cut Castle and bring in Colin Kaepernick as the backup to Marcus Mariota. And so he's very predictable. This guy is a Joe Rexroad in his want to have Colin Kaepernick in Tennessee. Can you imagine Colin Kaepernick? Now, I believe that the Titans management, I think they're smarter than this, obviously. But here's what he has to say. Starting quarterback Marcus Mariota is questionable for Sunday's game at Miami, which means that backup Matt Castle may have to start. That means the team may need a backup to the 35-year-old Castle. So I guess there's a 33-year-old guy by the name of Whedon is just fine for that purpose, but he's a guy who's just not very good. So Whedon, he says, needs to be cut, bottom line, which is why they need to bring in Colin Kaepernick. He says the idea that he would be a distraction in an NFL locker room is one of many overblown narratives around him. But he would certainly be a short-term distraction because his return would be the biggest story in sports. He says that's not worth a Band-Aid for a move for a guy who hasn't been playing and has not been in the system. What he is saying is that you don't sign Kaepernick as the backup to the backup. You sign Kaepernick as the backup to Marcus Mariota. But he's wrong on a couple of fronts, and I'm going to get into some of this if I can do it before the break. Where he's wrong is that, one, the idea that Colin Kaepernick would be a distraction in an NFL locker room is one of many overblown narratives around him. I don't necessarily think that Colin Kaepernick would be a distraction in the locker room per se. I think it's all about the fans. I think that the players on the Titans, I think that they would play for and with Colin Kaepernick, just like they'd play for anybody else. It's the fans. It would be a distraction to the fans, not the players, but the fans. So this guy, Joe Rexroad, maybe he's somebody who has been, maybe a sports writer for too long, and he's forgotten about what it's like to be an actual fan. But there's absolutely no way that the Titans should be signing Colin Kaepernick in any way, shape, or form. But he says you don't sign Kaepernick unless you're ready to replace Matt Castle as the backup quarterback with him on a permanent basis. They're saying that that is something the Titans should at least consider. And he continues to make his case. Kaepernick is not a surefire NFL starter who is being blackballed by the league because he started the movement of kneeling for the national anthem in 2016. He says that's another overblown narrative. But he is certainly good enough to be a quality number two in the NFL, and he's probably still good enough to start for some teams. Now, that is certainly debatable. I've read any number of different analysis of Colin Kaepernick and whether or not he is good enough to start for some teams in the NFL. He does say that Kaepernick does not have a job because NFL owners have been fearful of the backlash from fans. That's absolutely true, and I've been telling about that for weeks now. And because none of them perceive him as good enough to take the risk. What have, been talking about the whole BS ratio, right? Is this guy worth all of the BS that he brings? You know, some people, they are good enough that they bring with them a lot of BS, but they're good enough that the BS is worth it. Kaepernick's not that guy. He simply is not. You know, there was a time when Roethlisberger, right? Ben Roethlisberger with the Pittsburgh Steelers, he had a lot of BS surrounding him. But Roethlisberger, first of all, he seems to have cleaned up his act. But the other thing about Roethlisberger is at the time, you know, the Steelers are like, this guy is always in trouble. And there's all these accusations of him doing these untoward things to women. But he's good enough that he's worth the BS. Well, Colin Kaepernick is not worth the BS that he brings. So this guy, Joe Rexroad, it's almost like he's not necessarily understanding as to the amount of BS that Colin Kaepernick would bring. He may be right about the abilities of Colin Kaepernick. He may be right that Kaepernick would be a good number two, but let me tell you something, folks. When I posted this story onto my Facebook page, a resounding do not bring Colin Kaepernick to the Titans. He says Kaepernick's politics have cost him a job, and also that his game is not valued enough to overcome it. Those are the, as he says, those are some of the ideas, some of the false narratives around Colin Kaepernick. I would say that it's not necessarily his politics that cost him his job. It is his attitude. It's the fact that he and a lot of these other NFL players, they have been so tone deaf as to how the fans feel about what they're doing. And he talks about the fans' reaction to what happened on September 24th. Now, you remember what happened on September 24th when the Titans and the Seattle Seahawks stayed in their locker rooms during the national anthem as part of a league-wide demonstration that day. Six folks, he says, emailed in support of the protest. He says 41 people were against the protest. 25 vowed to never watch the Titans and or NFL again. And 5 claimed to be Titans personal seat license holders who were selling off their season tickets. So clearly the fans, at least to me, have spoken. And I don't want to go on and on about this because this is a storyline that has been well played. But there are updates, and it seems like there's updates every single day, although the story itself is getting a little long in the tooth. The bottom line for the NFL is this. Their ratings are down. The owners are split as to how it is that they should deal with this. They're losing advertisers on a local level, and fans are angry. And the media looks really bad with all of this, too, because you have situations across the NFL where the media is showing the players taking a knee, they're not showing the fans and their reaction. They're not showing the fans and their anger. And so that tells you that the media themselves have their own agenda. But certainly we all know that. 615-737-9986, 615-737-WWTN. It is the Dan Mandis Show. Got a lot more coming up next, including, apparently, why is it that millennials are so incredibly tired? That is funny, and it's coming up next on WTN. What? 137? What was that?
What do you think it was?
That was a Taco Bell ding.
Where's my tacos?
I'm not getting you tacos. I know that it's National Taco Day. I'm not getting you tacos. Although apparently Taco John's, there's a new Taco John's here in town. Somebody's saying there's a new Taco John's in Laverne.
Mm.
And they're saying that it is indeed worth the trip.
Are they giving them away free on National Taco Day?
I don't know. You need to, like, stop.
I mean,
because you and Belle are both incredibly...
Yeah, there's San Antonio Taco down the road, too, that is really good.
Good. So when you go buy some, bring me some.
We keep, I mean, I'm not buying much money.
No, we're done. Thank you. I'm going to time check you both, including your stupid little dings. 137. Okay. Pamela, can we be honest about what you're trying to do?
Belle, manipulate you?
No, you're not. Belle, you can chime in on this, too.
What I'm trying to do?
Here, I'm just going to call you out.
I am Taco Bell.
I'm going to call you out. You are clearly trying to get
Your name is Belle. I get it.
I get it, too. Very funny.
Very funny.
Every time now I talk to Belle, we should have the little Belle ding. There you go. Hey, Bell, I need some audio. There you go. Anywho, now what you're obviously trying to do is you're trying to get one of your Furbies to bring you tacos.
Oh, I am?
That is absolutely what you're trying to do.
I didn't even think about that.
Hey, Furbies.
I should have put out the message on
that's what you're trying. Well,
social media.
You're telegraphing the whole,
no,
hey,
I don't want any of my Furbies to see me today. You've seen what I look like today. Oh, no.
Belle, would unless you like to comment on that?
Unless they just want to leave.
They could drop them off at the front desk. Yeah, they don't have
just
to actually
do
meet
that
with her.
Yeah, if they want to do that, then all right. San Antonio taco would be awesome.
Oh, my gosh. All right.
I like cheese.
I'm done with both of you. Actually, I'll tell you what. I like cheese, too. I do. You know what? When you bring tacos to us, I want extra cheese, and please make them ground beef tacos.
Yes, ground beef tacos.
None of that stupid shredded beef or anything like that. I want ground beef. Okay, look. If we're going to go ahead.
Shredded beef.
No, I don't like shredded beef.
I don't know of any shredded beef tacos. I know beef. I don't know what
they're shredded beef.
About.
Yeah,
okay,
Chipotle
fine.
Does.
They do the shredded.
Yeah, absolutely right.
Maybe I've had shredded and I don't know it because I like it so much.
Anyway, whatever. So if you want to bring Pamela tacos, please bring Pamela tacos. So she'll quit interrupting my show. Anyway. And we can also stop with that.
I think
that.
It would be more meaningful in team building if you bought them for us.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, what you learn this in leadership classes, do you not?
I didn't take those.
No kidding.
I was busy. I was busy not being a
the
leader, apparently.
The hell you say.
Anyway, moving on. There is something that is going on in the schools that actually should raise concern for you as parents. And let me tell you something. First of all, we've been talking about everything that's been going on in the world today, talking about Las Vegas. We know that the authorities are now questioning the girlfriend, Mary Lou Danner, of Stephen Paddock. So we've got that going on. We're keeping an eye on that for you. And there's a number of other things that are going on, including the story out of the Tennessee. And this is something that, again, it's all about kids, social media, and what your kids might be going through in schools today. Here's the headline, exposing, and that's what it's called, exposing in schools is raising a concern for educators and counselors. Now, what it is secretly taking a cell phone video or photo of other kids in a compromising sexual position, then sharing those images on social media or via cell phone. So this is sort of like, I guess this is new, or what I would say is this is something that we, as in the parents, may just be finding out about, but this has actually been going on for quite some time. So I'll give an example. If you're a guy and you're able to do what guys try to do, which is get a girl's top off, and then you somehow snap a picture, then you put it up on social media. There's another different way that exposing is happening in schools today, especially in junior high and high schools, and that is where you have some of these corridors and some of these staircases and stairwells, and you'll have a group of guys, and we've seen this. You have a group of guys will go into one of these corridors, one of these hallways, and they're able to get the girl in some sort of a forced sexual or compromising position. They snap a photo and up it goes on social media. This is apparently a huge deal, and the Tennessean did a whole big expose on it, if you will. They say counselors and educators say exposing is a form of cyberbullying and can be devastating to its victims. And again, there is a difference, I would say, between this and your typical revenge porn, which I talk about often enough. Knowingly sending compromising photos is what most revenge porn is. So exposing is different in the sense that this has nothing to do with voluntarily sending exposing pictures of yourself to somebody else. This is all about somebody who unwittingly gets their photographs taken and then it is exposed to thousands of people on social media, if not even more. They say that exposing is also central to four lawsuits that have been filed against Metro schools within the last 2 months. So this is something that's been going on here in Nashville. I didn't know about these lawsuits until I read about it in the Tennessee. And they say that each of the lawsuits allege school officials failed to follow federal Title IX rules in properly responding to alleged sexual assaults captured in cell phone images, then shared online and via cell phone. Now, you know, because we've talked about this before, that this is the kind of thing that can lead to depression. It can also lead to, sadly, and we've seen this all the time, it can also lead to suicide. Two of the lawsuits filed against Nashville schools focus on the same incident last September when two 14-year-old girls both say they were subjected to unwelcome sexual activity in a school stairwell by an unspecified number of 18-year-old male students. So to me, what it sounds like is that you've got freshmen or sophomores, and they're being essentially bullied and even the victims, if you will, of unwanted sexual activity in the corridors, and then they're posting these things up on social media. They say at least one male student videotaped the encounters, then circulated the video online and, of course, on social media as well, and through cell phone, text messages, and other messaging services, according to the lawsuit. So this is something that is going to be an issue for Nashville and schools across the country moving forward, and also for parents. They say both girls continued to experience harassment as the video circulated, because what they did was they took these videos and took these pictures. They ended up on these social media sites and also simply text messaging back and forth on all of these various phones that all the kids have. And so it's something that is prevalent all throughout the school. And we know this happens all the time. They say that both girls continue to experience harassment as the video circulated, including being labeled as sluts or whores, the lawsuit alleges. One girl left school while the second girl failed a class and sought counseling from her pastor. The allegations of videotaping girls in non-consensual sexual encounters, then circulating the images, are repeated in two other lawsuits involving separate incidents at Maplewood High School. So you got two things that are going on here, non-consensual and consensual encounters. But in both cases and in both instances, it's a situation where the girls do not want their videos of them taken or pictures of them taken as well. And so they're, of course, doing what they always do, and they should do. And they're talking to some of these folks who are local experts, and they talk about how there's nothing that could be more detrimental to a kid's well-being than what they call the distribution factor. And as I said before, that is these videos and pictures up on social media or simply being texted and emailed between all these different kids in school. And that's part of what's going on in schools today, right? Is it's not necessarily about what's happening on social media, although it is, but they don't need social media to spread the pictures around all over the place. No, you can just email it or text it from friend to friend. It doesn't have to be on Instagram. These things spread like wildfire just through everyday texts and everyday emails. They say exposing images on Instagram, text, or tell friends to take a look, then take the images down in a few days so they can avoid getting into trouble. So this is something that I know that we as parents are, luckily my kids are older now, I can't even imagine having, you know, kids that are 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old now. They say that taking and sharing images of minors engaged in consensual or non-consensual sexual contact can lead to potential felony charges. So a couple of different things happen, right? You have the victim, and that person's life is derailed by these pictures, these compromising photos of them going all across the internet and all across their kids' phones and so forth. Knowing these pictures are being circulated or distributed, it causes big time emotional and psychological distress. But also, if you're somebody, you know, maybe you're a minor, maybe you're over 18, but you could be charged with a felony if you take part in this. And so you got lives that are ruined on both sides of the equation. You've got the victims whose lives are ruined, but you've also got the perpetrators whose lives are also ruined. And frankly, for the perpetrators, I think that they should be. They say that even kids who share the images can be subject to criminal charges. For a person that passes it along, there is still a potentially serious charge. And as far as some of the laws go, just so you know, one more, a new Tennessee law giving prosecutors more leeway to bring misdemeanor instead of felony charges against teens for sexting, sending provocative pictures, would not apply to exposing if images are taken by a third party. So this is something that is yet another example of how our kids, thanks to our devices and thanks to social media, it's like they're self-destructive. Let's see what Randy has to say in Tullahoma. Hey, Randy, you're on WTN.
Hey, how you doing? I wanted to tell you, since you were talking about this topic, we recently had a an agent from the Homeland Security Office there in Nashville, I believe, came and spoke to our school system about this type of thing. And one of the shocking stats that he gave out was that they had a girl, which I believe might have been somebody in Tennessee, that took a picture of herself exposing herself and sent it to her boyfriend. And her parents became upset. They got him into Homeland Security, and they started to – there wasn't much they could do about it. A few months later, I believe, they somebody from Russia called, and they had a server from the dark web that they wanted to de-encrypt, I guess you'd call it. And somehow Homeland Security says they would help them if they could go in and look at some of the American names that were on there.
Hmm.
When they went into the server, they found this girl, and they from the time that she took the photo to when it showed up on that server was 42 minutes.
Right.
And that's an amazing amount of time, a shortness of time that this just happens to these kids.
Oh, and when you talk about Randy, I appreciate the call. When you talk about the fact that it's got the reach that these photos end up having, but also how long they stay up on the web. It's like these girls, this can go up when they're 14, but it can haunt them until they're, you know, if it's on the internet, right? I mean, essentially, it's up there forever. So just so you know, that is what exposing is, and the schools are trying to figure out how to combat that. But ultimately, you know, I'm going to say it for all of us, it's about the parenting. You know, if you have a kid, and I hate to say it, I'm going to throw my own gender under the bus here, but I know the girls have their problems as well. But, you know, if you're a guy and you are amongst a group of seniors or 18-year-olds and you're surrounding a freshman or any age, I guess, in one of the stairwells at the school, and you're doing this and you're taking these compromising photos and then you're sharing the photos and then you're putting them up on social media, one, you're ruining the life of that girl, almost possibly to the point of suicide. But what you're also doing is you could be throwing your own life away, because, listen, you end up with a felony charge. You get hit with, you know, distributing child porn. That's a huge issue. By the way, Newsweek has now retracted its story that to review the public records of Mary Lou Danley, the girlfriend of Las Vegas shooter Stephen Paddock. They were the ones who had reported that she had used two social security numbers and was married to two men at the same time. Apparently, they have retracted that now. The initial report, they say, was based on the marriage record of Danley, who was, you know, Newsweek. I mean, you could say that, oh, all of the mainstream media is fake news. Well, I mean, Newsweek, I never really put them on the same par as like the Inquirer, but apparently they've been caught having to now retract this story on Mary Lou Danley. They say the initial report was based on the marriage record of Danley, saying that she was married to two men at the same time, who was known under a different name when she married Gary Danley in Clark County, Nevada. Newsweek mistakenly matched that record to a different person who, like Danley, had also gotten married in Clark County and lived in California. Yeah, they shanked it. Danley remains a person of interest in the shooting investigation of 59 people, including the gunman, Sunday night in Las Vegas. Newsweek regrets the error. The other question I would have is, okay, what about all the other information that Newsweek had within that article on Mary Lou Danley? Because there was also an indication that she had lived in a number of different states. And so, you know, again, bottom line is what they're doing is they are interviewing her right now. And we're hoping to find out why exactly it is that this guy shot over 500 people, killing 58. And I think that one of the reasons why, and I'm not excusing what Newsweek did, but because everybody's sort of searching, though, for answers. And I think that's one of the things that media does. And I'll be the first one to say me, too. We're all looking for an answer. We're all trying to figure out why exactly it is that this guy did what he did. And so by looking very closely and sometimes not only closely, but also somewhat irresponsibly, as a Newsweek did, I think they're trying to find answers, just like we all are. It's 153 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN.
I'm Pamela Furr. Rex Tillerson denying a rift between he and his boss, and a Democratic senator introduces new gun legislation designed to stop semi-automatic weapons from becoming automatic. These stories and more at 2 on WTN.
158 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. Dan Mandis Show coming up in the next hour. Yes, indeed. Tillerson talks. And what has millennials losing sleep? I'll tell you about those stories and a whole lot more straight ahead on Super Talk 99.7 WTN.